Welcome to the Delvin Cox Experience, the podcast which each week I am on a one-man mission to unite our culture to diversity. I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and this week I have a special guest. Let him know who you are, brother.
Hello, everybody. My name is Matthew Dawson, host of the Dial Up Movie Club podcast. Thanks for having me on, Delvin.
My pleasure, brother. My pleasure. And as always, we like to start the podcast off with the 5 for 5. 5 questions, 5 answers to get the ball rolling. Matthew, are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm a little nervous, but I'm ready.
Okay. Question number one. What is the best album or song you listened to this past year? Does not have to be new.
Okay, I kind of got 2 answers for you. I'm going to shout out my favorite album of all time. I'm a rocker, just to full clarification.
Okay.
Favorite album of all time is Sum 41's album called Chuck. It's a great rock album, very consistent all around. Something from the past year that I've loved is The Offspring's Let the Bad Times Roll. Pretty sure that's what it's called. Let the Bad Times Roll album, great stuff.
Okay. I like those answers. I've heard of both groups. I don't think I've heard any Sum 41. I've heard of some Offsprings. I don't think I've never heard any Sum 41. That's interesting.
Sum 41, it's like a band that you've probably heard on the radio, but you've probably tuned them out.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, I got you.
Question number 2. Sonic or Mario?
Ooh, I mean, this is no, it's not tough at all. Sonic the Hedgehog all day, every day.
I knew you were going to say that.
I mean, he's the best. He's the best. And he was completely robbed on the Who Would Win show. I'm still bitter about it. It's been over a year and I think about it every night. I was on the phone with James Gavsey a few days ago and I was telling him that I said, man, I want to let you know that your Mario versus Sonic episode, I don't know how many downloads it has, but half of them are mine because I listen to it so much. Just like whenever I need to get out some rage, I listen to that episode. Okay. Sonic the Hedgehog, 100%. Great character, great games. Well,
I have a side question to this then.
Got it.
Who has the better cartoon show, Mario or Sonic?
Because I got to go Sonic again, because Mario really only has that one 80s cartoon, which I love.
Well, it's 3 technically, even though it's the same art. It's weird. Okay. Yeah. Let me go down the rabbit hole with it.
Yeah. Some Mario history.
Okay. There's a Super Mario Super Show, which was with Captain Lou Albano.
Yep.
Which had like because I used to watch these shows every Friday. Yep. Instead of showing that show, they would show the Legend of Zelda cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one of them. Then they had the one that was based off of Mario 3.
Mm-hmm.
That used to come on, and this is me saying my age again, around the time as Captain N the Game Master. It was Mario against the Koopa Kids.
Okay.
Then they had another spinoff. They had an actual spinoff of that show that was based off of Super Mario World.
Mm. Okay.
All three different cartoon shows.
I guess the only one I was aware of out of those three was the Super Mario Bros. Super Show. And I have watched quite a bit of that. And it's great to go back to because it is a total trip.
Yes, it is.
Toad's mushroom head is not a head. It is a hat.
Yes.
It's a massive beanie. I always thought it was kind of just a tumor growing out of him, but I liked beanie more. But Sonic the Hedgehog cartoons, you know, it was kind of the same thing. There were like 3 running simultaneously. There was Sonic the Hedgehog Saturday morning cartoon.
Yes.
The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, which was more aimed at a younger audience, and Sonic Underground, all going on same time.
I remember those.
Yeah.
And didn't Jaleel White do the voices for all those shows?
Yeah.
Like that? That's crazy.
Yeah, and he was a great Sonic. I love his Sonic. So.
3 different Sonic shows going on at the same time, done by the same voice actor.
Yeah, and they're all like vastly different.
Yes, very different.
Yeah, and And of course, like later on, you get Sonic X, which is more of a young centered anime, and then Sonic Boom on Cartoon Network, which is a great show. I love that show.
My son likes that show too.
It's very funny.
My son's a big Sonic fan. That's how I know a good amount of lines of Sonic. Like
he just, someone to educate you over there.
Yes, he just bought Sonic Colors.
Oh, nice. I just got that too. That's great.
Definitely. All right. Question number three, Matthew. What's the dumbest thing you ever done as a kid?
See, I knew this question was coming because I listened to your show a lot. And every time this question comes around, and the guests really struggle because there's so much. So
yes. They don't want to say the real thing that they did as dumb as a kid.
Yeah. Or they don't want to dox themselves into a hole. I think I came up with a happy medium. And back when this was probably around fifth grade, I'm at church, a little youth group event. And there's a game where you start out with game time, of course. And then the game was that you get a bunch of M&Ms poured out in front of you. This is the most Michigan game ever. And you just sort the M&Ms by color. And whoever does that fastest gets to win or something. So I very eagerly volunteered for this game, not remembering that I am severely colorblind. And
they're all red. Yeah,
exactly, man. So I go up there and I'm standing up there, and my mom was like a chaperone, and she's just like shaking her head in the background knowing what's about to happen. And I just stand there and all the kids start going, and I'm just sitting there and I'm like, they are all red. The same M&Ms. So I just start bawling in front of everyone because I can't do it.
That was great. I don't even know how to respond after that. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
It stuck with me. It's one of those experiences that it's one of your core memories, you know?
Yes, definitely. Question number four. Mm-hmm. Thanos comes to Earth with the gauntlet, stones, mm-hmm. all that pizzazz. You can pick five heroes from any universe you want to take out Thanos. Mm-hmm. Who are you picking?
All right. So Sonic the Hedgehog is on my team by default. And he's a great resource. I'm not going to underestimate that speed. And of course, Samurai Jack is also on my team as default. He's going to kind of be that Captain America type leading us into battle.
Okay.
I'm going to take Ghost Rider. I think that's a vastly underestimated character.
Oh, and yeah.
He's insanely powerful. Doctor Strange shakes in his boots thinking about Ghost Rider.
Yeah, I love Ghost Rider.
Yeah. So that's three. I'm going to take Flash. I value a lot of speed. So Sonic and Flash are going to be that power team. Thanos isn't going to know what hit him. And also, if we start losing, Flash can just go back in time and restart the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And last up, I think I got to take Goku. It's Goku. I don't got to explain anything.
Yeah, I think you're going to need all those characters because it's going to take 30 years for Goku to do a fusion bomb.
Well, that's what bomb. Sonic and Flash are for. They're going to try to distract him enough.
It's going to take like a whole month. He's just sitting there and just gathering up all these spirits.
Yeah, how many seasons is this battle taking place over? That's an important question for this.
Exactly. All right, question number five. Mm-hmm. Zombie apocalypse is happening Walking Dead style. You can take five things to go out in the world and survive. Family and pets don't count. They automatically go with you. Unless you don't want them to, then they can die for all I care. Because I said this before to people. They're like, I don't want them to come. I'm like, oh, they can die. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to make you take them.
So, yeah.
What are the five things you take in the world to survive? Anything you want, by the way.
Five things. I'm taking, I think if Bruce Campbell taught me anything, it's that Chainsaw is going to do great. So I'm taking the Chainsaw.
I like that.
Because I'm not going to have to worry about ammo. There's going to be, everyone's dead. I can just siphon gas from people's cars into my chainsaw. It's going to be great. So we got Chainsaw. I'm going to take, I think a good hammer is going to be nice. Not for the zombies, because I'm not going to be stupid with a hammer. It's for smashing windows to get into places like Subway. And boom, I have all the turkey, all the ham, all the spinach, all my nutrients from all the Subway restaurants I'm going to be raiding. And my hedgehog Franklin's got to come with me. So we're taking Franklin's ball so he can roll around next to me.
Okay,
it's going to be kind of like I Am Legend with Will Smith and his dog, but it's going to be me and this hedgehog.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. Is this, just curious, is this the record amount of time someone said hedgehog on your podcast already?
Probably, because nobody's ever said hedgehog on the podcast.
I won at number one, baby. I got two more things. I think we're going to need some suntan lotion because things are going to get hot. It's very important to take care of your skin. And last but not least, I feel like after I'm done saying this list, you're going to be like, yeah, you're dead already. You wasted it on a ball and suntan lotion. So I got to really make up this last one here. I'm going to take, this is tough.
A weapon?
Well, I got the chainsaw. Yes. I should get something short range, or I should get something long range. You're right.
Yeah,
you're
that's
right.
What I was thinking. Yeah, like, because chainsaw, it's going to run out of gas. You're going to need to get gas for it eventually.
You're right. I'm going to grab, I'm going to do like a high grade drone. Okay. And listen, because that thing's going to be like basically a small helicopter. I'm going to grab onto it. And if any zombies are coming at me, I can just fly up. That's going to be so useful. And it's rechargeable.
Okay. That's not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that. A drone. Okay. So you can use it to fly away and things like that. Okay.
Exactly.
Rechargeable. I'm trying to think. I'm assuming solar powered.
We're gonna for the sake of the argument, yes. We're gonna go solar.
I'm trying to think, are there solar powered drones? There has to be, right? Or something
like
that.
I'm sure there's solar powered chargers, like converters, you know?
Yeah, it has to be something like that. Yeah, it has to be something out there like that. I would assume so. I don't know. I don't own a drone.
I don't either. No.
I did own at one point. You ever seen those air hog ships and stuff like that? I had one of a TIE fighter.
Ooh, that sounds awesome.
And it was really cool.
Yeah.
Remote control airplane, fly it all around the park and stuff like that. It was made of like a foam that wasn't supposed to break. And then my brother-in-law got it stuck in the tree and that was the end of that.
That's the thing with those types of toys. They're great for the 5 minutes they're usable.
Yes, exactly. Had a blast, but it was like, once it died, here we go. It's over.
Yep. Short-lived.
So, let everybody know a little bit about yourself for those who don't know.
Ooh. All right. Yeah. Like I said, my name is Matthew Dawson. I am a young creator looking to elevate all creators. I'm currently hosting the Dial-Up Movie Club podcast with my two buddies, Drew Barker and Dean Calkins. And this podcast, we get together each week. One of us brings a movie, or we have a guest on bringing us a movie. And we are in a search for the best movie ever made. The best of the best. And each month we have a different category. We are in Black and White month right now with September. Next month, of course, it's October. It's going to be horror month. And just fans of this show especially, I think you're really going to like horror month. There might be some surprises. I'm not going to spoil anything.
Yes,
Megatron. But I am winking. I've been in this type of field. Like, I've been in love with filmmaking since ninth grade, early high school. And I went into film school for about a year. I did college film school. And I the place, I won't name it, but it's a scam. maybe there are great film schools on there out there, but I found that there was nothing I couldn't teach myself that film school was teaching me. I've been actively pumping out new content for years, and every day I learn something new. And I just found that's the best way I learn. If you like having a book shoved in your face, that's great. But that's not how I learn. I don't think that's the effective way to learn. So, yeah, I'm just a guy out here trying to elevate people around me while also trying to make a name for myself. And I want to show off cool movies and what we can learn from them and from other people.
Let me ask you about this, because you brought up an interesting topic with this. Mm-hmm. It seems like this generation in particular has it figured out in terms of making content. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Kevin Smith, when he made Clerks, he got a loan out. He put all his money into making Clerks. Like, in all of the, like, everything he went through to make that movie become something. Whereas now, I can literally just use my iPhone and make Clerks myself. And it probably would honestly look better than it did when he made it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's the difference between back then and now. And like you said, you went to film school and stuff like that. You didn't get what you needed from it. I think a part of that probably plays into that whole thing where we just advanced as a society so much where you don't necessarily need to have the top of the line stuff to make cool stuff when you have YouTubers doing it themselves. And if you want to learn, you can just go on YouTube and look up a video.
Yeah. Yeah. You can learn whatever you need from film school on YouTube for $60,000 cheaper.
Yeah. And I've seen people do it. Like, you can go on YouTube and look up what cameras you need to buy, how to light, do light things, and everything you need to know in a half the time. And it's kind of just interesting how that works out now, because so many people are content creators.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was having this conversation of, there's a saying that it's a miracle that any movie gets made because of just the work that it takes to make that happen. And I said, that's not true. It's very easy to make a movie. Like you said, you could make one on your phone right now. You could record us talking for however long this goes and put it up on IMDb. That's not a miracle. It's very easy to make a movie. It's a miracle that good movies get made, because that is much harder to do.
Yeah, I agree. That's why the Avengers movies are so popular. Or Marvel MCU in general, because their movies are usually, well, I would say always, at least good.
Yeah, yeah. They're very consistent.
Yes. And that's not an easy thing to do nowadays.
No, no. And I think what Marvel's done right is that they have this showrunner, this head guy, Kevin Feige, and this guy is passionate about comics. I talked on an episode a while ago with James Gavsey how people that are making these comic book movies need to be passionate about the characters. And I think that's exactly what Kevin Feige is. I love the story of when X-Men, the original X-Men, was being made, and Kevin Feige was a producer on that, and Hugh Jackman, who played Wolverine, of course, goes into his office, and it's just wall-to-wall X-Men comics, Wolverine figurines, and I'm like, yeah, that's the guy you want showrunning your company, not someone like whoever is running things at DC. I don't know.
Yeah.
But obviously they don't care.
I agree. It's kind of hard to look at it like that, because, well, not look at it like that. It's kind of hard because you see, for so long, and I didn't want to get in this tangent, but we're here now. So long, DC has kind of been the top dog in terms of people like Batman. Batman is probably the most recognizable character in comics history. Batman and Spider-Man. Yep. Mm-hmm. Batman, but, you know, people always ask for, in terms of movie-wise, Batman, Superman, mostly DC characters. Mm-hmm. Now it's kind of flipped. And these characters that, like, I knew, because I was a Marvel fan, like Iron Man, Captain America, Falcon, they're household names now. And it's because of Kevin Feige's work and kind of letting people find out who these characters are and making people fall in love with them, like Black Panther. Mm-hmm. The average person a few years back wouldn't know who Black Panther was, wouldn't know about that. Now everybody knows who Black Panther is, and the Chadwick Boseman is beloved because of that character.
Yeah.
And I think that's also, and it's crazy to say that because Chadwick Boseman played like Jackie Robinson. He's played like a lot of famous characters, but people resonate with him for Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Panther, where I love Black Panther as a comic book, he wasn't necessarily a popular character. I wouldn't think people would put them, the average comic book fan probably wouldn't put Black Panther in their top 10. Maybe not even their top 20 a few years back. Now you can easily see and commonly see people put Black Panther in the top 5, top 10 in terms of like comic book character.
Yeah.
I think
definitely.
That has
I've always loved Feige. Black Panther. Like my dad, his number one favorite character of all time was Black Panther. And he passed away in 2011. Oh. And so when Black Panther was revealed to be coming in Civil War, my hype was through the roof. And I think, and that trailer comes out and everyone's talking about Spider-Man. And I think Spider-Man's great, but like, I'm hyped that Black Panther is in this thing because I've seen Spider-Man, you know?
Multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. And give a character like Black Panther the spotlight. And it's really a shame to me that sadly we can't get any more of that because I think it's an awesome character to include. And I don't know where they're going down the road for the sequel. It's happening. But it makes me sad that a character like T'Challa won't be in the MCU anymore.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think it's a little tragic because we don't get to see that story end. And then, and I understand why we don't. But it feels like we needed T'Challa. Even though I'm quite sure what they're going to do is fine. I think even if they go with Shuri, it's fine and it's great. But that Black Panther movie and Civil War, for that matter, was a moment. Like just seeing Black Panther be Black Panther on the screen and he was alongside Captain America, Spider-Man, Iron Man, and hold his own. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe this is too soon, but like, do you think they should recast? Because I think it's a super tough question.
At first, when it first happened, I said no.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I think about it, the more I get away from the situation, the much as I love Chadwick, I think it'll be cool to recast, to let the Black Panther legacy live on, not just because of the legacy of the character, but so they can properly pass the torch to a Shuri. I think it sucks to Chadwick going. It hurts. Like I said, I think about it a lot. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think that character, Black Panther, is important to people.
Yeah.
A whole generation of kids love T'Challa, love that world of Wakanda. And I think it's a shame that we won't be able to see what was originally... I said the same thing about Heath Ledger and the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that we didn't get to see what really would have that ended up being.
Yeah. Yep. I think it works better with the Joker because Heath Ledger, it sounds like he might have been a small cameo in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
But T'Challa is this character that we kind of thought was going to headline whatever the next few years of the MCU looks like.
Yeah, he was going to be the anchor. It was going to be Captain America, who was Falcon, and T'Challa, essentially, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's a great duo. And I agree with you 100% that, like, at the time of his passing, I was like, no, we are not going to recast him because he was perfect. And now, as time goes on, I have the same exact viewpoint that this is such an important character to so many people. And I think, I don't speak for him, obviously, but I think Chadwick probably would have wanted T'Challa to go on, you know? Because it is an important character and what he represents. And I think it's important for kids to have that. And you could say, well, Matthew, duh, they can just go watch Black Panther. But moving forward and how they're going to handle it, I think is really going to decide the future of the MCU.
Yeah, and I will go a step further. Christopher Reeve is a lot of people's mm-hmm. favorite Superman. Yep. Even after his passing, they didn't tarnish the legacy of Christopher Reeve. All the other Supermen have to live up to his legacy.
Yeah.
Like people, when people think of Superman, they think of Christopher Reeve.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be the same thing with Chadwick. Like when you think of T'Challa and Black Panther, even when, if you do eventually, they're going to recast mm-hmm. T'Challa.
Yeah.
Whether it's 10 years from now, 20 years from now, there's going to be another Black Panther movie with T'Challa as the main character.
Yeah.
Yep. Eventually, because that's just how comics work. You reboot the universe, things like that.
Yep.
Whoever plays that role is going to always be compared to Chadwick's role because it was such a memorable role. Not only in Civil War, but you got Civil War. You got, was it Infinity War? You got Endgame. You got a lot of Chadwick as Black Panther, even in What If.
Yeah, What If he's in now. Yep.
Yeah, you got several cool moments as him as Black Panther. So
yeah. And it's going to be like insurmountable pressure for whoever that next actor is. Like you think about even Batman right now when Ben Affleck was cast or Robert Pattinson, all the backlash that came with that. And that's a character that gets rebooted every like 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. And gets compared to the original Batman who is Michael Keaton. So it's even crazy when you think about it like that. Like people have their favorites and it's crazy. Like anytime you hear a conversation about Batman, they always say Michael Keaton. And then after Michael Keaton, who is the best out of these Batman? They put Michael Keaton in a class by himself and they say, okay, besides Michael Keaton, who is the best Batman?
Yeah. Yep.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Great idea for your movie podcast and things like that. I like the concept of it. But there's something else that you do that's really cool.
All right.
You do like this kind of cool, because you mentioned it multiple times, James Gaffsey from the Who's Wood Show, who's also a regular on the Delvin Cox Experience. I can say that. You do this cool thing where you do these trailers for the Who Will Win matchups.
Yes.
They're awesome. If you haven't watched the listen to the Who Will Win show, I think you can watch it too because it's on YouTube as well.
Yep. A lot of episodes are on YouTube now.
So if you haven't watched or listened to the Who Will Win show, what are you doing? You definitely need to check this out. It's really cool. It's fictional battles between fictional characters. One-on-one, mano-a-mano. So what's cool about it is Matthew does these cool trailers for the battles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're awesome. So I have two questions for you. Awesome. How do you come up with the trailers, for one? And more importantly, and this is one I always wondered about for myself, how do you come up with, because every time he does a trailer, he shows the stats of the character. How do you come up with the stats for the character?
All right, so your first question, how do I kind of put this thing together? I do have a template. Like, of course, it starts to get a little card of what the battle is going to be. And then the stats for each character. And then a little edit of, like, a movie trailer. And then, of course, who's representing who. And then if there's a sponsor at the end. So how this started was I was a fan of the Who Would Win show starting at like the start of season 2. I kind of found it and a few months went by and I was like, I love this show. Like I think this is an incredible concept and I love it. So I DM'd James on Twitter and I said, hey, this show, it needs a video format. Like it's incredible.
I agree.
And I would love to edit it for you. And he said, that's awesome. We already got someone on it. And I was like, that's great. I'll stand back. And then like a couple weeks passed, and I just felt this itch and I DM'd him again. I'm like, James, I'm annoying you, I'm sure, but you got to give me a chance. Trailers. Like this is going to build up hype for these matchups because everyone loves trailers. We were all crying about the Spider-Man trailer for months. So
that's true.
So it's just a layer to build. And I sent him a few pitches. I did a few of his old battles. Like I did a Captain America versus Darth Vader trailer, sent it over and stuff. And he was like, awesome. We love it. We're going to start this off in season 3 thing. So season 3 starts. I want everyone to know I don't learn the matchups before you guys do. I learn them the same time you do. So okay. I don't get any special privileges for the fans out there. But it's revealed it's Ahsoka Tano versus the Dragonborn. I'm like, great. I love both these things. Put a little edit. And then we did that for a few months, just little edits. And then James and I, we're in pretty good contact. And we're like, okay, we need to, like, this is great, but there's still more that can be built on. So we come up with the stats. And how I come up with the stats is basically a lot of research. And I do have a little chart I use of, like, a five for speed is supersonic or something. And I just kind of go on Reddit forums and every website I can find. Marvel characters are great because they have a whole wiki which they list the stats out for you.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's great. And I just convert them into my own chart. So yeah, and some are harder than others, especially when Rey gets his way and does the most random characters.
NFL Super Pro, yes.
Yep. I think the toughest trailer I've ever made was for the Ninja Turtles versus the Guardians, because I couldn't find anything on the Guardians.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, and NFL Super Pro, we weren't doing stats at that point, so I got off the hook really easily. So just a lot of research goes into those, a lot of love. I spend a good amount of time on those trailers, and then it's incredibly worth it because I do get all the people coming in the comments saying this is awesome, or even like I think Batman's gonna win, and it's very rewarding to me. And we're working on more stuff all the time that I can't really talk about yet, but if you love the Who Would Win trailers, or if you want to check them out, like, just follow them on Twitter, Facebook group. I'm very happy with them.
Awesome So let's get back into your podcast.
Yeah
Dial Up Movie Club. I love the concept of it. It's pretty cool beans. What is the favorite movie you've done so far?
Ooh. Okay, I do keep a spreadsheet because we give scores at the end and we are looking for the best of the best. So the number one movie right now is a movie that Dean suggested, which you may have heard of. It's called The Lighthouse.
Nah, I'm not watching that shit.
Have you seen it?
I've heard of it. I have no interest in watching that movie.
No, I completely understand. It's a very niche movie for a niche audience.
Number but one luckily, should be Transformers the Movie, 1986, animated.
That movie's great, but The Lighthouse has scenes that I cannot talk about on this show.
That's the one with somebody described that movie to me. I'm like, that doesn't sound like anything I want to watch.
No.
Like, I forgot who it's. Somebody, it's two people that's famous.
It's Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe.
That's what it is. Yes.
Yes.
Because they
yes.
were like, that's the movie where everybody said, oh, this guy should be Batman.
Yeah.
I say, what? I'm cool on this movie. Like,
yeah. And like other movies are up there. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That's our number two right now. And just my personal favorite is, oh, that's tough.
Yeah,
you did The Incredibles. Favorite. I love The Incredibles. That's great a 10 movies. Out of 10.
Okay, I like that choice.
Yeah. Sam Raimi's original Spider-Man we've done. Love that movie.
That's a great
Batman
movie.
Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Fantastic movie.
Love that movie. So, yeah, those are some of my favorites. And those episodes where we bring guests on, it's very unique because you get that new perspective in a movie. Usually they recommend movies that we've never thought about. Like one of my buddies came on, he recommended us a movie called Your Name, which is an anime movie. And none of us are very much into it. Have you seen that movie?
I have not watched it. It's on my queue, but I have heard of that movie.
Yes. Yeah, it's not something I would have ever watched like on my own. So having guests come on, that's great. And it wasn't our highest scored movie, but it's a great, I'm glad I watched it.
Okay, that's cool. So let me ask this.
Yeah.
How did you guys even come up with the concept of this podcast?
Okay. Well, Dean and I used to work together at a auto shop, and I really wanted to, as I was getting more involved with the Who Would Win show, I really wanted to start my own thing and just use it to elevate ourselves and other people. And I didn't want, it sounds lazy, but I'm like, I don't really want to put research into this too much. Like, I just want to do something chill. Some people can just pop on. They don't
that makes
have to,
sense.
Yeah. Just something people can listen to. And we came up with the idea of Dial-Up Movie Club, and Dial-Up is kind of our group name. We have Dial-Up Pictures on YouTube, which is where we put all our short films we work on together. And then, so of course, it kind of just evolved into a branch off of Dial-Up Pictures. Now it's Dial-Up Movie Club. And yeah, and so coming to, and it gives us a chance to talk every week, which is always great. and sometimes they can torture me with movies I don't want to watch. And so it is just a fun concept. And I said at the beginning, I said, if only one person listens and enjoys this, I will be happy to make it every week. And we hit like number 52 in the charts last week.
That's awesome.
So yeah. Thank you. So like people are loving the show and people are enjoying it, and we're bringing on cool guests, and I'm very proud of it. So, yeah.
Final question before we go.
Gotcha.
Well, I want to ask you this because you mentioned it.
Okay. Go ahead.
I think this, matter of fact, I'm going to ask you this question because I think y'all got to have you back on to have a whole conversation about the movie that you make. Because I think that's a whole different conversation.
Oh, awesome.
That'd be really cool.
That'd be super cool. I'd be down for that.
Okay. Awesome. So let me ask you about this.
Yeah.
Where do you want to take the Dial-Up Movie Club podcast? How far do you want to go with it? What's your aspirations in terms of podcast? Because podcasting is becoming a big thing.
Yes.
I like the concept of Dial-Up Movie Club. I like what you guys do. I like that you have on these different guests who bring a different perspective to movies and stuff like that. Where do you want to see it go?
Ooh, that... It's tough. Like long term, of course, I'd love to do this the rest of my life if I could. But you think about it, I am not going into this as a podcaster. I'm going into this as a director and an editor. Those are kind of my two niche things in the film industry. So, and then, of course, the horrible pandemic that shall not be named kind of put a halt on all of that. So,
yes.
I was creativity deprived for over a year. I couldn't get people together to shoot things. So it's a way for me to get my creative feelings out there. And I think anyone that has an urge to create, has a creative bone in their body, just do it, people. Like if you want to make a short film, get some buddies together and make it. You don't even need buddies. Like set your phone up on a desk and record you doing whatever. Just if you have a passion and the willpower to make something, the talent's going to follow you. And so with the Dial-Up Movie Club, what I want to do is I want this to be a way that even if I am on sets at a future jobs or anything, this can still be a way that I can kind of relax, get thoughts out there and hopefully inspire people to check out inspiring films and filmmakers and inspire. Like I was talking to Dean when we first started this, our slogan is we aspire to inspire. Like we want to raise other creators up with us. And if you like want to shoot me a DM or anything, people of like things you've made, I would love to watch it because I love creative people. Like, I love this show. I love the guests you bring on. And that's why I love the Who Would Win show. I love all.
Awesome.
Like, there's not much stuff I hate because it's what you do for this show, Delvin, is you.
Yeah, and people like it.
And people like it. That's the miracle of it. You can make things and people like it.
Yeah, it's dope. It's kind of dope.
It's and I love that anyone can do that now in the age we live in, whether you want to be a YouTuber or a podcaster or a filmmaker or anything. You want to make a makeup blog? I don't care. Do it. So yeah, definitely. I started Dial Up Movie Club because I can.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Man, Matthew, thank you for coming on, brother. Let them know where to find you at.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Delvin. You can find me on Twitter at Hopper2400. And you can find the Dial Up Movie Club wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow that podcast on Twitter at Club Dial and our YouTube channel, Dial Up Pictures. So you can just find our weird videos we got up there right now. So
awesome. Definitely. Thank you for coming on, Matthew.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Delvin. It was a great time.
Likewise. And as always, Delvin Cox Experience, we are out. Peace.
Peace out.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Delvin Cox Experience. If you like more content, go on patreon.com/Delvin Cox Experience. There is more exclusive podcasts, including I'm the Podcaster, he's the DJ, that is the hip-hop podcast I do with Mr. Tim Hines, as well as the Boondocks, which is a Boondocks review show I do with my son, Delvin Jr. With that being said, I want to give a special shout-out to Patreon producers Shirley Walker, Ghost Rider UK, and Mikey Famine. Thank you. God bless.